As we come to the fag end of the new year, one of the main responsibilities, right? In fact, there are three responsibilities I always tell, you know, as we end a year. There are three things that we could probably do as a godly reaction to this season. One is we look back and thank God for all His mercies, right? Thanksgiving. That's the first duty. And then we'll have to examine. We look back and examine our lives. You know, that's what I intend to do on a Sunday. And then we look at the future and, you know, do some resolutions and plan for the future. So today I intend to look back and thank God, right? You know, motivate you, encourage you, and so that you, you know, look at this year and conclude this year with thanksgiving. And Bible is filled with commands for thanksgiving, right? I don't have to quote you any verses. In fact, even under the Old Testament, Levitical law, God commands people that you should always thank God. And how much more in the gospel dispensation, right? We sometimes are so used to hearing and, you know, that we should thank God, we should New Year, we should think about God and all that. We kind of become senseless, right? So to make you a little sensible and to make, I was thinking I'll give you some reasons why we should thank God, okay? Some reasons why we should thank God, and so let's look at those reasons first. Now, it is, we can say it is a, you know, just duty towards God, right? It's something related to justice. We've received so many blessings from Him, and there is no way that we can do anything, you know, in return. And the only thing that God expects is thank Him. That's a basic thing. And we have to, we keep receiving, we are being recipients of abundant and abounding mercies. And there has to be a return, right? We have to return thanksgiving to Him. And it's the biggest injustice we do to God to receive and, you know, take and all enjoy all His blessings and then forget to thank Him. We saw so much of disappointment in the words of Jesus when He healed 10 lepers, and you know, only one turned up to thank Him, and Jesus had a sense of injustice being done to Him. And we see, you know, 10 were healed and only one, and this Samaritan turned back. The Romans 1 tells us that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. Now, why? Because what is the chief sin of mankind? They knew God. They enjoyed all God's blessing. They failed to thank Him and glorify Him, right? We glorify God by thanking Him. So, and because they didn't thank Him, you know, Romans 2 goes on and says they are storing up wrath. You know, so are we going to be part of that? You know, the more years we pass without thanksgiving, and, you know, we're storing up wrath by senselessly passing this year in worldly busyness and not giving any time to thankfulness. No, that's wrong. So it's a just duty, number one. Number two, scripture says, those who do not cultivate a thankful heart will become more and more hardened and even become like brutish animals, right? You just receive and you don't render thanks. Isaiah says, the donkey knows his master, but my people have become so brutish animals. They don't know me. There was a boy brought up in a very godly home, and they would pray. It's a poor home. Once I think he was taken to other family in the church. They were very rich. In fact, they were royal family. And he went to that mansion and he was so excited about that mansion and food and all that. As soon as food came in that big dining table, there was so much of food, variety of food. They all started eating. And the boy didn't eat, and they were looking at him, why didn't you eat? The boy asked, don't you eat? Don't you thank God before eating? And they all said, no. The boy was so, you know, so confused. The boy said, you know, he said, in our house, there's only one thing that doesn't thank God, as, you know, it is my dog, right? I've seen only my dog, as soon as the food is kept before it, it starts eating and jumps and starts eating. Right? That's what I see. But all of us thank God. So it's more of a brutish attribute to not thank God. Right? It's a duty. More and more we become thankless. You know, do you want to become more animalistic this year? Right? Don't thank God. Your heart will be more hardened. Right? And then Thanksgiving, third reason why we should thank God is Thanksgiving increases not only our blessings, right? It multiplies our spiritual graces. Think of it. We all need to grow in grace, right? And grow in grace means growing all the graces. And Thanksgiving is a great means for that. Think about faith. We need faith, right? Oh, so poor faith we have. You want to grow in faith? Start thanking God. Thanksgiving increases faith. Thanksgiving increases humility. We all need to learn humility. Pride is what makes us ungrateful. And we think we are our own providers. We become arrogant and we become hard. Thanksgiving makes us realize our provider and increases our humility and dependence. Thanksgiving increases our Godward love. Right? When we see that we have received so many blessings from God and it melts us, and you know, we start loving the Lord. Thanksgiving stirs our heart to love God more. Thanksgiving increases our joy. All thankful people, all happy people are thankful people, whatever situation they may be in, right? We saw Paul so joyful. So Thanksgiving increases our spiritual graces. Fourth, the reasons for Thanksgiving. Many, many sins can be prevented by Thanksgiving. Do you know that? Sins that harden our hearts. You know, sins that are committed out of hard heart. Sins that harden our hearts, you know, can be hindered by Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving wonderfully keeps our heart tender and sensitive. It doesn't allow that numbing of conscience, which many a times lead to, you know, sins. Most regular sins, think about it, how many times you've committed sins of murmuring, dissatisfaction, bitter words and frustration, like the Israelites not realizing what they have, but they've always been thinking what they don't have, you know, been thinking about Egypt and murmuring. How much of that we do? Discontent in heart is the soil for all kinds of sins to grow. Right? When you're discontent, you're not happy, you're disgraced, you become bitter, and Thanksgiving prevents all those sins. Satan sent all kinds of trials in Job's life, right? He was tempted to murmur and then curse God by troubles that were sent in his life. How did Job overcome all that? The scripture says he avoided sin. In all that, Job did not sin. That's what the verse says. You know what he did previous to that? You know how he avoided sin? He didn't sin. What was the weapon he used? He saw all the losses. He said, the Lord gave and the Lord took. Blessed be his name. It was the weapon of thanksgiving, right? He avoided sin by thanking God. Thanking God. We need to be like that, you know, with our family, with our kids, you know. Not always murmuring, not always, you know, with a frowning face, you know. We should be thankful people. That helps us overcome many, many sins. Think about sins of fear, sins of worry, sins of what is going to happen in the next year, and all fretting. That can be prevented by Thanksgiving. Why do we worry? Why do we get into all kinds of fear? Why do we fret? Oh, what's going to... Because we don't thank God that He has provided all this, you know. We don't trust Him. And because we don't trust, we end up worrying. Thanksgiving prevents that, right? And Paul in Philippians 4, he says, do not worry about anything. Be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about anything. What about that? What about, he includes anything, right? Be anxious for nothing. For in everything by prayer and supplication, and then with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So, you see, many, many reasons, right, why we should be thankful. Thanksgiving prevents many sins. We have to thank for 365 days of provision. Not just that. You know, some of us are 30 years, some of us are 40 years, 45 years, you know, how many days, you know, we've eaten, right? When are the days where we didn't have ration and couldn't even afford one meal? No. The Lord has fed us all these years. Sometimes, you know, people, there was one lady, she was very, feeling very guilty that she forgot to keep lunch for her pet dog. Right? Has the Lord forgotten to give us, feed us any day? No. He never forgets to feed us. In fact, He taught us to pray, give us our daily bread. Because He ensures that we get daily bread. Right? And finally, the benefit of thanksgiving, right? When we are focused on spiritual, invisible blessings, our hearts are always thankful. The reason sometimes we get all fretting, murmuring and wondering is, right, you know, we focus only on things we see. Let us say you got a hike in 2023, or you bought a big house or car or a new land. Yes, we should thank God for all that. It's His blessing. Let's say He gave a big church for us, big church building, right? Let's say 1,000 people, 1,000-seater building. Oh, we can see that and thank God and praise God. We can have a Thanksgiving service. We are so ecstatic about things that we see. But do you know, as people of spiritual kingdom, our greatest blessings are not in things we see. Our greatest blessings are invisible blessings. And the greatest blessings happen in our life invisibly. We become hard and ungrateful because we don't focus on that. Oh, what big blessings last year, you know, I didn't get a good hike, you know, I didn't buy a house, what? But true spiritual growth, right? True spiritual men, matured men, you know, are more excited about invisible things, not these outward things. Are we matured like that? Right? If we are still stuck with the things visible, look at what Paul says. There may be trials last year. You would have had trials last year. Look at what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4:17. For a light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For things that are seen are temporary. Oh, you want a job hike, you want that one, you bought a house. All those are temporary. But the things which are not seen are eternal. All the trials, all the poverty, all the sickness, all the loneliness, all the pain, family problem, all those things may not seem not like blessing, may seem like suffering. But those are the ones doing greatest good in your life. Do you see that? Your loneliness. Because Paul says, for a light affliction, which is for a moment, is working for us far exceeding eternal weight of glory. How many of us thank God for our trials? Right? Those trials, which, what are they doing in our life? Which is increasing our patience, right? Have we become more patient in 2023? The poverty and the pain, how much of love of the world is reduced in us. Those sickness, how much longing for heaven it has created in us. Those problems and since that test, things that test our patience have developed character in us. The more patient you are, aren't you more wise than you were last year? More patient than you were? More thoughtful person than you were last year? The more sanctified you are than last year? How much truth has sanctified you and how much you have learned and reduced sins in your life? Yeah, you didn't get 5 crore in your bank balance. You know, you didn't get a big house, jewelry, but, you know, yes, you know, but those, aren't these blessings, invisible blessings, valuable? Right? Yes, there's no heart, big heart problem that was healed last year. Right? There was no cancer that was eased last year. But what about the spiritual healings that you experienced? Right? You become, you were able to overcome so many things. You become more holy. You become closer to heaven. You've grown in the knowledge of truth, your peace, your joy, your knowledge, all that has grown. If we can just open our eyes and see the invisible things, that will fill us with gratitude, people. So those are my reasons. There are many reasons I can go on for us to be grateful. It is a just duty. It is great injustice we do to God if we don't thank God. It helps us not to become like brutish, animalish, hardened heart if we thank God. It increases not only our worldly blessings but spiritual graces. It prevents many, many sins. When we focus on invisible things, we can always be grateful. Now, we have to thank God, right? All that I am saying is we have to thank God. I am laying out all these reasons. And I was thinking, you know, thank whom? Right? I was teaching some group about Trinity and, you know, I learned a lot of things about Trinity while trying to explain it to them. Now, one thing that I realized, whom do we thank? Yes, we should thank Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit. But I kind of realized when I was reading this, Colossians says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Many, many, many passages, like Colossians, commands us to give thanks to the Father, the object of our thanksgiving being Father. And the second chapter in Colossians, you should abound, you should overflow with thanksgiving to the Father. Many times we thank Christ, right, the Son of God, for his great work on the salvation, on the cross. And regularly we think about the cross. It fills us with, you know, overflowing gratitude and love for him. And Christmas, we thank him for his birth. It's good that we should do that. And we also thank Holy Spirit. We depend on him for his help. He is the comforter. He is the counselor. We thank him every time we hear a good sermon. I thank him every time, you know, he helps me understand and prepare a sermon. And every time when I finish a sermon, I thank him. But do you realize, if there is one person in the Trinity who is more apt to be forgotten in our praise and thanksgiving, it is God the Father. Right? Do you realize? Now, how many times have you focused your thanksgiving to the Father? I think it's a wrong teaching we've carried from years that we've seen Father as always angry and it is the Son who's loving and, you know, who pacifies. No, that's very wrong. It was the Father who was the source of that love. And, you know, it was the Son who kind of took over that love. He is the source of everything. I feel guilty that, you know, I don't do that regularly. Now, why not use this year? Think about focusing all my thanksgiving to the Father. Right? Think about all that the Father has done to me. He's the Father of creation. He's the Father of providence. He's the Father of redemption. He's the source of all blessings. Right? He created us. He sustained our life. Not just last one year. Think about the love of the Father. He loved me in eternity. He was the one who loved us before, Ephesians says, before the foundation of the world. Right? Acts 17 says, he is the one who determined our time, our bodies. Why am I born in 2023? It is the Father's determination. Where am I going to live? Why am I in this oil mill road? It is he who determined our time, our bodies. Today, Divya is in her native. Who decided you're going to go to your native? It is the Father, right? Who determines our life, everything. And where we will be born, to whom we will be born, and to whom we will marry, every time and everything is determined. He formed us in our mother's womb. He knit us together, right? He brought us out of our mother's womb. Each of our birth is the wonder of Father's miracle. It says we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Yes, Jesus Christ's birth is unique, but aren't your birth and my birth unique? You are made for a noble purpose with a soul and a body united in one person. Who did that work? He brought us from our mother's womb, and from the day we are born to this day, it is the Father who sustains us. How much we should thank the Father for it. Oh, how we forget him. I thank him for your existence. It is this sovereign good pleasure that you and I are not born blind. You and I are not handicapped. Right? You and I are not mentally retarded. He shows us such people, right? When we look at him, oh, how graciously he has created us. What about the last 365 days? Who gave us food? Who gave us the drink? who gave us the clothes that we wear, who gave us the skill to work and earn money, and you know, you get a SMS, the salary is credited. Do you realize this SMS came from the Father? Because all good gifts come from the Father of light. Who is the source of all this? You know what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, do not worry what you will eat, what you will drink, what you will wear. Why? Because the Father knows these. The Father knows you need these things and He will provide you. Don't worry. Every day of 365 days, oh, the Father was the source of all these blessings. Thank Him for your preservation. God preserved you in health, right? Oh, if we get some sickness and we are admitted, how weak we feel. I don't know. When we are healthful, we don't realize the value of health. Right? When I had this stomach problem, couldn't speak, and you know, my throat went off, and you know, I couldn't even eat. My 1 month, my wife put me on completely bland diet. You know how I felt? I felt I'm going to die in another week. Right? But, you know, only when the sickness comes, we realize the value of health. Oh, how healthful we are. How should we thank God? What about praise Him for keeping you healthy? Think about it. How many, some people fall sick, right? And then they burst out into praise and thanksgiving and all joy. What about Father who's not allowed you to become sick? Isn't that not worthy of praise? Right? You're not admitted in an hospital last year. Never suffered a pain. Where is your gratitude? Okay, and let's say you've fallen sick. What about Pastor, I've fallen sick, you know? But who is that who sustained you, preserved you from perishing and healed you? Thank Him for His healings. Thank Him for the deliverance, right? You may be sick. And some of our church people have gone near death, but He has raised them up. Right? And God has delivered us so many deliverances from temptation. Even as unbeliever, I think about our lives as unbelievers, right? This, who restrained us from becoming the worst criminals? Right? Think about it. Who restrained? There was so much of lust and so much of evil passions in us. And there was nothing to control us. Have you thought, now we are in church, we hear the truth and all that, we can kind of, the means of grace. What about when you were an unbeliever? Why didn't some of us become big adulterers? Right? Why were we not in some big thief or some drug addicts? Why are we not addicted to drugs? Why have we not become that and this? You know, who prevented? It says, it is the Father's preventing grace. Even before the conversion, He cared for us. He protected us, right? It is the Father's love which sent His only Son into this world to accomplish perfect redemption. Thank God for the government, for the civil government and the privileges that we have. What a blessing it is. Now, we look at our government and say, that do that injustice, this one and this one. And you should go and live one week in places like Syria or other dictatorship government. It's not gone worst, right? 2033 was not worst. You should thank God for this government, right? And He has not dealt like that with every nation. Compare our government with some of the worst governments. There was no, China, for example, there's no freedom to gather as a church. No liberty of speech. The things that we put in YouTube, we are dead when we put such things. We can still worship God according to our conscience and according to His word, safe in our homes, right? And there are, yeah, North India, there is attack and all that. What about the freedom that we enjoy in Bangalore? Have we thought and thanked God for it, right? Only when we thank, we will allow that freedom. Or He will make us realize the value of that freedom if we take these things for granted, right? Thank God for the land where the gospel, where we are born, where the gospel light is spreading. Millions in so many lands, right? They don't have an opportunity, think about it, right? To hear the gospel, Islamic countries, terrible Syria, North Korea, you know, if you just talk about Jesus, you know, you're dead, right? Why are you and I not born there, right? And how many horrible things go on, we should thank God for that. And thank God for the peace that He gave 2023. We did not see any war. right? Like that happened in Gaza, that happened in Ukraine. Just imagine some country bombing us, right? Peace was there. There was no famine. There was no recession. And think about the land, you know, why do we see all those things in news? You know, we, the bloody war, think about the all kinds of bombing and day and night bombing and mothers with the blood of their children in their hands, screaming, widows, orphans, and all the desolation that we see. Oh, how much God has spared us. We should thank Him for the blessing. It's the Father's good pleasure. It's nothing else, right? And we should thank God for the ordinances, the Sabbath day, where there are people, you know, so many places. You just travel and go to some other place, try to find a good church, you don't have it, right? What graciousness it is that we have a church where God's word is preached and God is worshipped in the way according to His word. Right, it's all show, drama, man-made show that happens, all the dance and all that entertainment and all that religious, dead religion is what is there across the states. But what a blessing, what a unique and precious blessing it is for us to have a church, right? Should thank Him. It's all the Father's blessings, the Lord's Supper, communion, the number of times we took communion, the number of times we heard the word. Praise God for all that, because He's been feeding our souls, protecting us from evil, the means of grace, right? You should thank God for all that. And you should thank God for your conversion. What are we compared to others, right? Sometimes, you know, I pray and pray and pray for people's salvation and they don't get saved. And we think salvation is just like, you know, you just buy a 1 kg sweet and give it to people. It's a cheap thing. We think it makes us realize how precious and how valuable salvation is. What are we that He should choose us and He should just pass by so many people? Bible says it was the Father's good pleasure. Why me, Father? It's my pleasure, right? Behind all the people who are dead when gospel is preached, what touched us? It is the Father that drew us to Christ, right? That drew us, the Father who forgave all our innumerable sins. It is the Father who justified us through Christ's righteousness. It is the Father who adopted us as His children. It is the Father who sanctifies us. And summing up everything, it's as if Paul says in Colossians, like every good father, He not only did everything for you in the past, He chose you in eternity, He sent His own Son to accomplish a perfect salvation for you, He forgave you, justified you, sanctified you, He sustained you through 2023. What about 2024? Not only 2024, 2025, 2026, 2050, 60, 100, all that eternity. Colossians says, Colossians 1:12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be the partakers of inheritance of the saints in the light. Like every good father, He not only took care of our past, but He took care of our future, right? Not that He takes, He's already settled our future. He has qualified us for an eternal inheritance. You're worried about 2024? My child, your father's love you've not understood. He's made your entire eternity secure. He's made us, He's qualified us, He's suitably qualified. He's done everything for our eternal inheritance. Right? Whatever years that you may have in this life, He will be your Father, protecting, sustaining, sanctified you, because He's infallibly, eternally secured your future in heaven, who has qualified us for eternal inheritance. Aren't you excited? What grace He's given. He's not only, how has He qualified us? He's already regenerated you. He's already justified you. He's already adapted you and He's sanctifying you. All these are qualifications. You are qualified. You're just worried about a small change about what is going to happen for this life? No. For 2024, you stupid. You know what inheritance means? It's an eternal, unfading, undefiled. Already your name is written. The will is written in your name. He's already made us fit for an inheritance. how much we forget Father's love. The Father who's done all this, but we hardly thank Him. Right? He's made you fit for the inheritance. Because how? Because as soon as you are born His son, right? You have to be born in His family. You become a heir. All that was needed is, the moment that the child is born in the family, he becomes a heir. All that is needed is the child should grow and become capable of the position. So God has made us fit. And that's why John says, behold the manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the sons of God. This is the prerogative of the Father, that He gave us new life. So as you begin 2024, remember this verse, right? It's you are qualified for heaven by the Father. How much you should thank Him, right? Some fathers give the worldly blessings. Yeah, my father is like Ambani. He gave me 1,000 crore rupees wealth to the son. And for what? So that the son can be lazy. The son can become... The son is so grateful to the father because 1,000 crores of wealth, so that he can enjoy and he can be a spoiled brat, that he may lose some of that with his foolish business decisions. But think of our Father. He blessed us with what? With an unfading inheritance. And it's called an undefiled, it'll never spoil you, right? And it's an eternal inheritance. You can enjoy it for all eternity. How grateful we should be for the Father. Giving thanks to the Father. Paul rightly says, giving thanks to the Father. Give thanks to the Father. Overflowing thanks to the Father. Because He's qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance. So, as we conclude this year, these are some thoughts for me to help you thank God for all that He's done. Right? You should be a heart. Your heart should be filled with thankfulness. And it starts with mentally, right? You start admiring, you start thinking, you start adoring, mentally we should start, that's where it starts. Mentally you think about all God's blessings, how good He's been to you, and how gracious, how He's differentiated you, right? And you don't deserve any of this. And then that mental thought and process, like Mary, she was pondering over these things, it starts affecting your affections. And you become more fervent in your thanksgiving. And then you vocalize it, right? You say that to people, in your family, in the church. We give an opportunity on the January 1st for some people to come and share. First come, first serve basis, because we can't cover everybody. Whoever wants to share, they give their name in advance. So we give an opportunity so that they can share and thank God for all the blessings they've received in the last year. And then thank Him also practically. Not just by words, but tell others about what He's done for you. Go and spread His truth and make some vows this year, right? To show your gratitude, Lord. I'm going to do this. I'm going to serve You like this. It's not just words and emotions, but Lord, I express my thankfulness in some way and lifestyle going forward in 2024. Lord, may the Lord bless this meditation. Let's pray.